Hello.
Hello. That's it. Just hello.
I wanted to see how long you could carry the silence for.
Not a good idea on radio. So sorry about our last pre-show. We were listening to the craziness that happened with the audio. We knew some of it was cut off. We didn't realize how much the rest of it was corrupted, which was pretty interesting. We may put that out as sort of a special.
It'll take a lot of editing to turn it into something fascinating, but it'll be very techno when it's done
Yeah.
because it just took little samples of our thing and looped it. So it's like blip, 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 blip.
It was really funny.
B dubs, B dubs, B dubs, B
Yeah,
dubs.
yeah. So this is the Blackstrap Stout that Jeff has on tap in his kegerator that,
Is the East End Brewing Company.
it's a little cold, but smells good. So, unfortunately, we missed what we talked about last week. I know there was NSA stuff that we talked about.
That's why it crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's in my computer car.
But you know, I think we've beaten that one to death. So let's go on to new
Well,
ones.
at least you and me have beaten it to death. I
Yeah.
think two times we've talked about it hasn't made
Yeah.
it to air, so. Damn computers!
So, I wanted to talk a little bit about trans fats.
Okay.
So, did you have you? I mean, you've been busy,
I
so I don't know.
know that the FDA
Yeah.
said that they consider it no longer safe to put in food.
Yeah. Which is it's interesting. So, trans fats are basically chemically hydrogenated fats to make them shelf stable and to make them solid at room temperature. So apparently they do a number on the body by increasing the HDL cholesterol, which is the bad one.
Okay.
And so that's why the FDA basically says they're no longer safe. They no longer consider them safe. So I think it's interesting. I think it's probably a wise choice. But that means that you're not going to see much in the way of Crisco and things anymore. Because those are
Okay.
Crisco, margarines.
I didn't know that. I didn't
Yeah.
think of that. I was thinking more of like, your Chips Ahoy cookies won't last as long on the shelf. That was the
That
main
too.
kind of
That
thing I've
too.
seen.
I imagine their products will still be available, but there'll probably be warning labels on them. And yeah, I mean, I think that you'll see a lot less of them in products. And yeah, you'll see that things like cookies
Right.
will go bad quicker. And that'll affect, I think that'll affect poor people more than it'll affect rich people.
Probably.
That's always the problem, is that processed food, it's full of this bad stuff. And it's cheaper to make, so it's cheaper to buy. So it's weird that these, decisions that are all about health end up not being the best for societal health, at least in terms of wealth.
Right.
But I don't think there's anything you can necessarily do about it if you found so, I mean, and I think the evidence is pretty much in that these are bad news.
Well, if you're using it for stuff shelf stability, right? Like for the cookie example,
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be much of a cost difference in material. There might be a cost difference in the shelf life of the product and them
Well,
throwing out
anything
more
that's deep
product, things like
fried,
that.
a lot. There's so much stuff that's deep fried that because it's cheaper to make use those hydrogenated oils than other oils. There was a big deal about a decade ago or so when McDonald's and all the other, I think pretty much all the other fast food places switched to peanut oil for cooking instead of shortening because it was considered healthier. And so they can, peanut oil is fine. Peanut oil is not chemically hydrogenated in this way.
Right.
So you'll see, I think it was probably cheaper for a lot of places. Those cheap pies or cheap burritos or whatever are probably all fried in cheap oil.
Okay.
And now either that practice will be banned or they'll have big warning labels or something like that.
Stock up on Crisco, man.
Yeah.
So you can get those fluffy crumbly biscuits.
I mean, I guess you could use some naturally hydrogenated oils, like lard.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lot more expensive.
Right.
And these, you know, these do occur naturally, but not this, they're not quite the same as the ones that are chemically made.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually fine with it. I've heard some people saying, oh, it's nanny statism, but it's like, I mean, nanny statism in terms of something that really doesn't, that people aren't like clamoring for in the first place. No one's mm-hmm. like, I love my trans fats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also,
yeah, taking away large yeah. sodas, it's a lot bigger deal than taking away the trans fats.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's a reasonable move, but others may argue on that point.
Okay. I won't. Fuck trans fat.
Fuck trans
fat. Fuck them in the ass.
Let's see. This is the anniversary of the JFK assassination.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I haven't paid attention to the news. How did I miss that? What? 45?
This is 45 or 50? It's something like that.
68, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, I've been reading some of the stuff. I mean, the consensus is pretty clear. There was one shooter. It was Lee Harvey Oswald. The consensus on why he shot Kennedy is less clear. There are people who say that there may have been influence from other places, but there's really no good evidence that I see to show that that beats Occam's razor.
Mm-hmm.
But
it, 63. 50 years, I guess.
Okay, 50 years. So, I mean, I don't know. We haven't talked about this. You and I are not conspiracy theorists, but I remember when Shane was here, mm-hmm. not last time, but the time before that, he brought up the Kennedy assassination. I kind of went, I did an audible eye roll.
I vaguely remember that, but no, I wouldn't if you didn't bring it up. I haven't done enough research to know. I mean, and if it's featured on, you know, Ancient Aliens or something, some shit like that, then I pretty much discount it off the bat, right?
Well, CNN has a story today about the one conspiracy theory that still holds up.
Okay.
And that's the idea that the CIA did something to allow this to happen. Either precipitated it in some sense, or let it happen, or something like that. That's the one that can't be just dismissed by evidence. But there's not a lot of evidence to show that it's happening either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's true either. So it's right. not like... So, I mean, you know, I would say you err on the side of there's probably not a conspiracy because it's unlikely.
In the CIA to let the president get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, not a lot to talk about there.
No, sorry. Sorry to disappoint you, not to argue about it.
No, it's not necessarily argue, but I'm just wondering if it would, you know,
What's the main conspiracy thing there? The magic bullet?
The magic bullet, which was just basically people building incorrect models of what happened. And where people were sitting mm-hmm. and how that, so.
It's magic, man.
Scientists discover the world's oldest clam, killing it in the process. Did you read about that?
I did not.
It was a while ago when they found the clam and killed it. It was 2006 when they found the clam, but they just found it was 102 years older than they thought. The clam was 507 years old.
Oh, bummer.
So it was, you know, when Magellan was starting to go around the seas is when that clam was born. So clams can live for a long time.
I didn't
know. Small, simple bivalves.
Mm-hmm. Just heard a thing about, I guess, the naked mole rat lives for like 32 years, something like that. And, you know, very similar to other mice who mm-hmm. live for 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of interesting that they have such longevity when they're not very different from things that have 1/10 the lifespan.
Well, with mammals, it's related to metabolic rate, how long you live. And that seems to be also with, I think, like reptiles and mm-hmm. And avians. But you get into areas like, you know, where things are a lot simpler in terms of their structure, sponges and basic mollusks like these, and the aging process doesn't seem to be as pronounced.
Okay.
And, you know, these things, I don't know whether they are... See, I don't know whether it's necessarily effective immortality.
Mm-hmm.
Effective immortality would be essentially don't die unless killed. But I do think that there's reason to believe that there could be effective immortality as long as conditions allow for it to work. There's nothing in its genetics that makes it necessarily die. Whereas there is something in ours that makes us die. Telomeres and all those mm-hmm. other things.
Right.
I think it's interesting.
I'm looking up here to see. I can't remember. How old is the world's oldest tree? It's like...
I want to say at least 2,000 and somewhere around 4 to 6 maybe. Yeah, maybe. Sure. It's in that range.
I found a story about it, but it's just a slideshow of the trees. And it's like, come on, where's the freaking details? 4,900 years old.
4,900.
Or wait, maybe at... Forty-eight, 41 is... the oldest known non-clonal organism on Earth. And I guess it's next to one that is now dead, but was an older specimen at 4,900 years old when it died.
Wow. But trees are interesting because, like, all of the inside of a tree is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's just the outside that's alive. And the rest provides structure.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, and like you said, those colonial organisms, the things like, you know, bacterial colonies, or even fungal organisms that grow.
I think, you know, maybe by what they mean also by clonal is like my hops, right? Yeah, you clone off, you know, things like that. Not necessarily little critters, but more so.
It's the same.
Well, you talked about that mushroom or whatever that shares a root system that's like half the earth or whatever it was, right? You talked about that one time.
It's like 20 kilometers. It's not quite half the earth, but yeah, I mean, it's a large, it's considered technically mm-hmm. all the same organism.
Right.
But, you know, how, you know, does one side talk to the other side? Probably not. It's not like you and I have two hands and we can definitely, you know, right. associate them with each other.
But I mean, when you think about the structure of a tree, isn't a tree kind of the same thing? I mean, it's just a bunch of cells around the outside of a skeleton. You know, it doesn't really have a nervous system.
No, it doesn't have a nervous system.
It does have a vascular system of sorts. So.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't have a nervous system the way we would define it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, it definitely perceives the world in some sense.
Right.
And interacts with the world. So, I don't know. I mean... This gets into real metaphysical, philosophical concepts.
I'm just curious, you know, tree versus a coral, you know? Because coral's not considered one thing.
Right.
And maybe because there's generally a variety of corals, but, I mean, still, you know, I wish I knew an example of one reef that's all the same coral or something like that.
Right, but
know?
I mean, does the coral... The coral's made of lots of individual things that I think all individually have different DNA, mm-hmm. whereas the tree itself is the same DNA.
Okay, yeah.
So if you're just defining life by its component mm-hmm. architecture, in that sense,
right?
Its component blueprint, then it wouldn't be. But It's a weird metaphysical question because how far down that rabbit hole do you go? I mean, we mm-hmm. we are made of a whole bunch of differentiated different cells, and you can change who we are by introducing various chemicals into us to change our states. You could cut out pieces of our brain and change who we are. So the who and the what and the where are very ethereal concepts, I think. Comet Ison is in the news.
Okay.
It's starting to brighten up. It's not visible right now unless you're up in the early morning, because it's just before the sun rises.
Okay.
But if it survives its plunge, it will enter what we would consider the solar atmosphere. If it survives and it reaches good magnitude, mm-hmm. then after, I think it's November 28th is when it gets to its closest point.
And this was the one that was could have been so bright you'd see it during the day.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And, you know, if it does survive, it might be. So
that'd be pretty cool.
It would be pretty cool. And that would be then after you know, the sun sets,
mm-hmm.
after it goes out. So it would be really cool if that happens. Look forward to that. There was a story about the physics of peeing.
Yes.
And how to avoid splashback. They're talking about, you know, low angles help, but basically urine is not a stream.
Mm-hmm.
It turns into basically, you know, droplets.
Right.
And that affects how it stuff. You can do a search on that, but
I remember the one of the early Mythbusters about peeing on the third rail, yeah. Right? And how they couldn't recreate the dude getting electrocuted because they couldn't keep a urine stream solid for mm-hmm. very far. So what's your technique to not get pee to bounce back on your... Do you have anything in particular?
What I've found is I don't aim straight ahead. I aim kind of towards the side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then it would tend to deflect not directly back at me, but
right.
off.
Yeah, kind of. I try to do that kind of thing where I kind of catch an angle so it kind of rolls around the bowl or something mm-hmm. like that. If it's one that has hole, like a drain, like porcelain holes in it, you know, sometimes I'll aim right down the drain. You know, if the hole's big enough, they just shoot it right down the drain, then there's no bounce back either. Those are my two main strategies.
Yeah. It's you know, it's gross because we have this cultural thing against pee, but everybody pees, so mm-hmm. I don't think it should be
Why aren't there urinals that... I mean, is it that hard of a problem to create a urinal that has no splashback? You think it's a hard problem, or do you think no one's tried to make one? Seriously. I mean, like, maybe they've done some things to help slightly, but has no one tried to tackle the problem, or is it that hard of a problem? I wonder.
Well, my question is, you know, we have this stuff up to block acoustic reverb
mm-hmm.
here, and I'm wondering if a similar sort of stucco surface would block bounce back.
I'd worry about little concave hopes parts in it, because those would be like little amplifiers, right, that could shoot it back at you like a laser.
And not to mention that those would be nice places for bacteria to just
cleanliness would be the second part, but the, you know, cleanliness would be the main concern from the urinal designer, but also the second part would, for me, you know, the thing that would not solve the problem is it would probably, if you caught it a certain way, it would probably shoot straight back into your eye or something, you know.
Mm.
So that's no good. There's got to be, well, it's like, I don't know if we talked about it. I think I forgot to talk about it. I heard about it a few months ago, where scientists have created the perfect mirror, where it uses some kind of quantum interference, so all the photons bounce off, nothing's absorbed or something.
That's
like
impossible.
That. No, it's not a mirror. It's not necessarily a mirror surface, but the way they work the angles or something like that, the interference causes them to, let's look it up.
Okay.
Because I'm going to pause so we can look it up, because I think Greg will be interested in this one, and I can't describe it because it's been a few months.
I saw a description in Scientific American.
We're rolling again here.
Okay, so yeah, I checked into it. It's something that the MIT scientists did. There's a Nature article. It's about trapped light. It's about basically photon confinement and using. It's complicated, but they effectively this is a perfect mirror for a specific type of polarized photon.
Right.
So you get perfect reflection because you have essentially set up the system so that your Eisengate only your eigenstate only allows one particular mode.
Mm-hmm.
And that is reflection. So it's a very clever, but you know
they weren't even trying to figure this out. They were working with this material and realized that I'm not sure how. You know, it's one of those things they're probably working with for quite a while, and they just happened to do one test, and we're like, huh? I think everything that went in came out. What the hell? So that's pretty cool, but. Yeah, perfect mirror. So that skeptical you gave me, it is possible.
Well, I mean, a perfect mirror in terms of full spectrum mirror, you know, the mirror that you and I
right.
are intimately familiar with is impossible, as far as we know. So that's why if you have the most perfect mirrors possible from what we can create. In a room, yeah, you turn a light on, mm-hmm. you turn the light off. The question is, does light bounce around on that forever? And the answer is no, because even if that mirror is 99.9999% mm-hmm. reflective, which they aren't, light moves so fast that, you know, within a few nanoseconds, it's all gone.
Right.
So...
I don't know. I mean, it definitely could pave the way for some use in optics and mm-hmm. things like that, mm-hmm. right? And
absolutely.
They might, once they discover the phenomenon better, they might be able to make it more versatile. No, it's not going to be a mirror you're going to hang on your wall, but it could be something that's used in a space telescope or something like that.
It could
that,
be something used for... I think the best use for something like that is probably for information transmission. You know, for low loss rate in terms of information mm-hmm. transmission, fiber optics, that sort of thing.
Right.
But yeah, that's it's interesting. Look up perfect mirror, or perfect quantum mirror is what I looked up to get the Nature article on,
mm-hmm.
it. Or Scientific American too.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's neat. I did not know that, but that's pretty cool. So a perfect mirror of a particular wavelength of light.
At 35 degrees.
At a particular angle with a particular amount of photons. Like, I don't know if you overload it with photons, does it cause it? I have to read the article. Mm-hmm. I'd have to read the paper.
Right.
To totally understand it. So
that's probably where I heard it was on 60 Second Science back in July. That's probably mm-hmm. where I heard that.
I think that that's good enough for now. We don't want to do a very long show because we're doing this on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's a school night, work night, that sort of thing.